Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm curious, Elizabeth, in your life and in your travels and in your pursuit for love, have you ever wanted someone that at that point you can't have?
Oh, yes, 100 million times
I'm
yes.
Sure, the majority of the population has to be familiar with that sting in your throat and genitals looking at someone that you can't have. Sorry.
I've had a major crush on a friend of mine's partner,
yes.
Like over years before. Like I'm not saying which friend it is because I've literally never told anyone. And only one of my friends, after a night out, we had a big group of people there, and she's like, "You and what's happening there?" And I was like, "What do you mean, what's happening there? Nothing's happening there." She's like, "I feel like you're into him. I feel like he's a little bit into you." And I'm like, "Whoa, no, that's way overstep." And then I kind of like really stepped the fuck back. But yeah, like, and there's always that little sting of disappointment when, you know, they don't break up or they get to a point in the relationship where they've been dating for so long that you could never go out with them.
Yeah.
Like, a point in time if they date for a couple of weeks and they break up, you could conceivably ask them.
Yeah.
But once you get to like a certain point, and I don't know what that point is of seriousness, they are off limits forever.
It's always struck me. You're just going about your day, you know, having a nice time. And then suddenly you realize, oh my God, I'm smitten with this person.
I know, and it's the worst.
And you're like, you inquire about their, because it's only ever happened to me, you know, the person you can't have.
Yes.
Me, single man, her in relationship.
It always is the
And you
man.
Try and inquire about the relationship.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, why are you with such a charming, good-looking, intelligent man? Why are you wasting your time with him? Come to me. Yes, it's painful.
It's so painful.
The longingness of it all, the agony. Hope is what kills you.
The hope always kills you.
Hope is what kills you. What about you, readers sitting at home? Boys and girls.
Write in if you've ever had a story of either unrequited love or love of someone that you just can't have. Tell us why. This is Ghost of Boyfriends Past.
It is.
Just to introduce you to what we're doing here in case you stumbled upon us somehow.
That's
and
right.
Are like, who the hell are these two people? I'm Liz Best.
And I'm Tom Harris. How are we, everyone? And if you are joining us for the first time, welcome.
Welcome.
You've got a lot of work to catch up on.
You've got some homework to do.
There will be a quiz and we love to have you.
But sit down, relax. We got some stories.
Yes, relax. And we have a guest to tell a story today.
We do. We have a bit of a mystery guest today.
Yes, our guest today has slid in under the veil of anonymity.
Yes,
and will remain that way. Now, we were debating a fake name for this guest. You are allowed to speak now.
Oh, okay.
You are allowed to
we
talk.
We suggested Jane, like Jane Doe, but she really likes the name Allison. So we're going to go with Allison / Ally for this particular episode. So hi, Ally.
Hello, yes. Ally. How are you on this Saturday morning?
How am I? Oh, you know, like a bit nervous.
Yes, that's okay.
Understandably.
That's
but
okay.
Like, it's just us. No, like, it's just between you, me and Tom,
that's
and
right.
That's it.
That's right.
Not our producer Zane and not our thousands of listeners.
Cool.
Like not
and not bearing my heart and soul.
No, not at all. Just we're having a coffee, we're having a chat, we're having a catch up and just let it out and kind of ease your burden.
That's right. Ghost of Boyfriends Past is really the no pressure podcast in terms of you talk about what you want to talk about, you share what you want to share, and then it's just we just take what you are happy to give. So
yes.
So don't worry. At ease, soldier. We'll guide you through it.
And we like to help our readers by listening to stories like this. If they identify some of the things, it's super helpful to them to be able to identify it in their own relationships or to learn from it. So
yes.
You're doing a public service, really.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'm yes. aware.
Well, then.
And so you brought us a story today, and We've got a long campaign of a story. This story takes place over like 12 years or so.
That is correct.
All in total. So a bit of a slog to get through, everybody. A bit of a saga. Pause the episode now to make your cup of tea.
Go to the bathroom.
Have a shot of whiskey, whatever you need to prepare, and we'll meander into it. Where would you like to begin, first of all, I suppose?
I feel like I should just start from the start.
Yeah.
It's a good place
just,
to start.
Just jump into it. Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Hold on.
Oh,
rules.
Yes.
Oh.
Now,
new listeners who have clicked onto this podcast for the first time.
We do have rules.
That's right.
Ali has been briefed on these rules off air, but we're going to say them on air just to make sure that you guys know that we're doing our due diligence.
That's right. We're looking after the right we're looking after everyone.
This podcast is not about outright vengeance. I say outright vengeance.
No. Subtle undertones of vengeance.
So no threats against the person that you're talking about. We're going to need you to come up with a fake name, which you already have. What's your fake name?
Andy.
Andy. I hate him already. Andy. And if you figure out who Ali is and who she's talking about, our number one rule on this podcast is don't be a dick.
Don't ruin it for our lovely guest or the people that she's talking about.
Because this is like, it's a group therapy session, and it would be like if you listened at the door at someone's group therapy and then went and told everyone. That's just rude.
Yeah, the big dick move. And
so no big dick moves.
That's
here.
Right.
No big dick energy.
Nothing like that.
Don't be a dick. All right, now let's start at the beginning.
All right, cool. Okay, so Andy and I were on and off again sort of for about 12 years in relationships, and then when we weren't, we were just best friends, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we met when I was in year 9 and he was in year 10, and we were both sort of like part of the same outside of school drama studio. And the first time I like saw him, and didn't actually meet him, the first time I saw him, he was on stage, and like he was just like super charming.
Oh God, and I've been there before. You just go, oh.
Yeah. And he was just like really funny, had great comedic timing, was like really good at showing his vulnerability on stage.
On stage though.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very good note. Yeah, he was really good at showing his vulnerability. And I was just like immediately like, I'm going to date this person.
Yes.
Like, I'm so
yes.
into him.
Yes.
And then the first time we actually get to meet, so romantic, we were like cast opposite each other as like bride and groom in a show.
Oh my God.
And 15-year-old you was doing 14-year-old you was doing mental maths and looking.
Oh, yeah.
It's
well,
if you get married on
we have to. That's the law, isn't it?
If you get married in the play, you get married for real.
Yeah. And I actually like we didn't even get to rehearse because he was kind of stepping into the show. So first time I met him, we were just reading opposite each other at the wedding ceremony in the show and getting married. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's meant to be. And then after that, we exchanged numbers and we like got to talking, and we were talking for a bit. And then it was like quite clear that we were both interested in each other. And then he sort of asked me over Messenger, like...
Messenger!
No, not Messenger, over text message.
That's what I was going to say. Messenger. Back in the day. Ugh.
He asked me over text message if I wanted to go on a date with him. And I was like, yes, but you have to ask me in person.
Oh, that's standards.
That's a good, I like it.
Well I wanted
done.
Like
certain, I love that.
Yeah. I wanted certain formalities respected, especially because I'd had so many like online boyfriends.
Yes.
That never saw the light of day. I was just like, no, this time it's going to be different.
Thing.
Yeah. Someone even, I had an online boyfriend propose to me once, and I'd not met him in real life, and he lived in the same suburb as me.
No,
so.
He was a 50-year-old man.
But he said he was 14.
I've never thought about that until now.
Why would anyone lie on the internet?
Liz is coming to spoil the party again.
Just don't believe it. Who keeps inviting you to these parties?
I throw the parties, Tom. That's the secret. They're my parties, and I ruin them. So
anyway, I dodged that bullet and I was like, I'm going, he's going to ask me in person. And that's that. And he agreed to it. And then every time he saw me in person, it was always like at our drama studio. And he just like, we'd see each other and I thought it was going to happen. And then he'd leave and it didn't happen. And I'd message him and I'd be like, excuse me, what's going on? And he'd be like, oh, I forgot. And then, right?
I mean, good on him for trying that out as an excuse. I forgot. No,
you were teenage amnesia.
You were nervous and you were terrified. You didn't want to ask a girl out in front of your other people. I'm sure you could never get a time alone, like completely alone, that he was waiting for. Is that right? Is that right?
There were times, like,
okay, yeah, there was opportunity.
Yeah, okay. Because it happened a lot after this, and I was like, oh, and I was going through my brain. I'm like, what's the issue here?
Right.
And so I was like, oh, we just need to be alone, and we couldn't be completely alone, but like, I try and find a way to like get him away from the others. And then it'd been going on for so long and he hadn't asked me and I was like, I'm going to take matters into my own hands here. And we were like going to a mutual friend's birthday dinner and I like sent him a message and I said, will it motivate you to ask me if I threatened to stab your hand with a dinner fork at the table?
Now, this threat was in the past, everybody.
Love
so it's
your energy. I am here for it.
Well, then.
I did make it very clear that it was a joke.
Yes.
Just so we're...
This is hypothetical. Yeah. I'm not saying how I will, you, but how would it motivate you if I did?
Anyway, he knew it was a joke, but then at the dinner table, I sat next to him and every now and then I'd like look at the fork and I'd look at him and I'd touch it sometimes and I'd like give him this like evil glance and I was like, you're not getting out of it this time. Like, it's going to happen tonight. And then once everyone had left, he asked me and I was like, finally!
That fucking time.
Yes. Fantastic. Result.
Finally. And so we went on our first date and it was... I think my definition of amazing, probably not others, but...
That's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to meet everyone's standards and criteria.
First dates are meant to be good for you. If they were good for others, everyone would be on them and it would be weird.
Yeah, that's all right for her, but it wasn't good for me watching.
Like, who are you, stranger, yeah, who's on my date?
I feel like I need to preface that because when I describe the date, it might not sound overly romantic or what you would think of an amazing first date. But anyway, we're on the first date and... We start off by like going for a walk along the river and it's like labeled the River Walk. Mm-hmm. And we get there and we see that some like creative graffiti artists have like changed the L in walk to an N. So I'm allowed to say River Wank, right?
Yes.
You're fucking allowed to swear on this podcast.
Cool, cool.
At the decree of me, you must swear at least twice.
Shall we take the River Wank, darling? Take it slow, see what happens.
And so we spent the whole River Walk / River Wank just like joking about this being the actual name of the place and like hypothesizing about what crazy things were going to happen on our walk. And
no, that's great.
Yeah, that's
see,
fantastic.
Comedy on a date, like really funny banter that you are both putting your heart into and really enjoying is the best date. It really doesn't matter where you are, in my opinion.
You can be locked in a closet together. But if you are laughing and sparks are flying and that continuous avalanching of good time
and
it just
happening.
goes and grows. Who
and you're
cares?
You have your own in joke now. And
oh,
that's an amazing thing.
Nothing better than an in joke. It's your own secret language. It's so exciting. Go on.
So we go on the River Wank, have a great
time.
nothing happens of that nature, just so we're aware. Yes. I'm 14, I think. Yeah, I'm 14. Yeah. And then we go see a movie together and I like get the sense that he's really shy because he took so long to ask me out in person. And so I'm like, I'm going to have to take the initiative here and I'm going to have to let him know what is okay. And so during the movie, I think it was like halfway through, I like said to him because I was like waiting for him to hold my hand. I was like, why?
Of course. And then you just put your hand on the edge of the seat and you're kind of just like going, here's my hand, by the way. It's right here, just inches closer, and they're still not looking at it. They're just like staring at the screen.
That's exactly what happened, actually.
You want to know? We're terrified. We are terrified. I know we're on the date and you said yes. And it's all like we're in the movie theater. We're there, right? Terrified.
Yeah.
Still terrified. I'm sorry.
Even when you've got a girlfriend, are you still like...
Terrified. Just terrified.
Well, I thought I'd make the situation easier on him. And so, and I don't know if this was the most romantic thing to do, but I just said, you can hold my hand if you want.
That's
no,
nice.
No, I think that's great. Nice. It's direct. It's to the point.
That's yes. Nice.
It's opening a gateway.
Yeah. And so he did, which was nice. Fantastic. I wasn't rejected. And then I did the same with our kiss as well.
Fantastic.
Look, I'm sure he appreciated it, honestly.
I'm sure there are...
There's no mixed signals there.
I'm sure there are men listening who were once shy, angsty teenage boys who were just, yes, yes, more of that, please. Let's breed that behaviour in. Just, you can kiss me now. Okay, good. That's fantastic.
So that date was a success. And basically after that, we were like, let's be official. And so we were dating. And I was very happy about this. And I found out maybe like 2 weeks into us dating, a friend of mine in the drama group was showing me like messages from this random guy, and she was like, oh, like I think he's really into me and everything. And then I was like, oh, can I see the messages? And they were very graphic, explicit sexed messages.
Ooh.
And they went into a lot of detail.
Ooh.
And it was the first time I'd seen like people sexed one another before, so I was so intrigued. Mm-hmm. And I just like went through the conversations in like fine detail, and I was like, what is this world? It was kind of like, I don't know, just looking at something you're not supposed to look at, and I was so intrigued. And we went on talking about, and she was like asking for advice and everything, so I'd just give her like friendly advice that was probably terrible advice at the time. And it wasn't until like maybe a few weeks after I first read the messages that she finally like had the courage to tell me who it was. And it wasn't because she didn't know that I was dating Andy at the time. She just was scared to tell me because she was in the same drama group as all of us, and so she didn't want to like, I don't know, make it known that who that person was. And so she told me it was Andy, and the second she did, my heart just sunk, and I was like, I've been reading your sexting conversations like for ages. And
oh boy.
Ugh, my own heart just fell out of my butt. That's terrible.
Yeah. And I gave advice on it and everything.
Oh, that is the worst.
I was like a cheerleader in the background. And, yeah, my heart sunk, but I didn't know what to do, and I was really conflicted because I was like, oh, I really like this person and maybe there's a good explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to him and I told him that I knew, and he just said, oh, that's over. And that stopped as soon as we started dating. And, you know, like...
Sorry, I just did my little eye narrowing. Did it, though. Did it. But continue.
Well, I felt like I had two pathways. I could be skeptical of it. But then, especially, like, around that time, I felt like in media, like, people were constantly telling women that you don't want to be the girl that's, like, really jealous or, like... always on the guy's phone, or you just don't want to be that girl. No one wants to be with that girl. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to be that girl. I'm going to be really trusting, and I'm going to believe what he says. And he was really convincing as well. And he's a great actor. And so when he would tell you something, you would generally believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down that path, the path to destruction, essentially.
But that's where every teen's brain is, though. Like, it's not until you get to be my age that you get to, like, you've got to have your heart broken to be that jaded, no, I'm not trusting this anymore. Like, you see a lot of good in the world when you're younger.
Absolutely. And you'll just find out to what extent I saw the good.
So you get over that speed hump as a couple, and then you just keep progressing. Life goes, you just keep dating as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Did you ask your friend whether they were still dating or not, or still sexting or not, or did you just leave that well enough alone?
I left that alone because I felt weird about it. I felt for her too. I was like, I don't know how much you've known about me and Andy. I just figured... she really liked him, and I was like, she's got enough to deal with in terms of the heartbreak. I just won't bring it up.
Cool.
Anyway, so we date for like, I think, 3 or 4 months, and it starts off really well, but then eventually he like stops talking to me, and he never wants to see me unless it's like really, really convenient for him. And then eventually he just doesn't see me at all. And I'm like still trying to be like the really like chill girlfriend that doesn't care. And she's like, whatever. I'm sure there's a great explanation for all of this. And then eventually it's like the night before my birth 15th birthday and I'm like, no, I need to like inquire about this. Like, yes, it's driving me insane. Because we'd like said like we love each other as well. And so he's like my first big love. And I call him and I'm like, are you like, Andy, are you even interested in us being together? Like, you don't really show it at all. And he was like, nah, I don't think I am. Like, straight off.
Thanks for the honesty. I mean, it's good.
Props for honesty, but he shouldn't have had to be prompted for that.
No.
You're like, you know, you can dump me if you want
to.
That's
right. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Oh my God.
It was so heartbreaking too, because I was so smitten with him and I loved him so much, and to have like that person not only dump you but be too lazy to do it was just like,
yeah, no respect. Mm-mm. Or yeah. Mm-mm.
And it was the night before my birthday, so yeah, emotions were high.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Yes.
And he didn't even say happy birthday. But whatever. And I actually wrote, like, I was so devastated that I like wrote a little poem that night about just like let those feelings out as a teenager.
That's what you do, you turn to poetry.
Yeah. Yes.
Either that or you have a blog where you spill everything online about your torment. Ooh, yeah. And then write the poem and include it in that blog.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Is this personal experience?
No. I've been a relationship columnist for years. I don't spill my relationship troubles in public in articles at all. What do you mean?
What do you want about?
Well, I cannot recommend using train analogies as a way of using a poem about your breakup. It was I've looked over it because I journaled everything and I've got all the notes and everything, and it's a bad poem.
Yeah, I know it is, because I do the same. I read songs and poems and things I wrote in high school. Dreadful. All of them dreadful. It's part and parcel of being an angsty, annoying, depressed at the world teenager. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're going to make horrible stuff. So it's fine. It's all part of it.
So post-breakup, what happens now?
We actually are in a show together.
Of course, so you are.
Awful. And
you're not bride and groom in this one as well, are you?
No.
Thank God.
and he actually mentions to me, he gets this character, and I auditioned for like the romantic lead opposite him, and I don't end up getting it. And he tells me he wishes that I did, and I was like, oh, that's confusing.
What do you want from me? Fuck.
But then he sort of like proceeds to kind of like ignore me for the whole show, and I don't mind because I'm like, I kind of need to get over this anyway.
Yes.
And I end up sort of befriending a girl who is absolutely obsessed with him and really wants to date him, and so all she ever does is talk about him and how great he is, and I'm like, I'm trying to get over him.
Yeah. thanks.
She's like, oh, doesn't he look good today, and like, oh my gosh, you see how funny he was, and I'm like, oh, this is just awful. Anyway, I eventually end up moving on, and one of his friends wants to ask me out on a date, and Andy kind of like intercepts this, and he has like a big D&M with his friend, and then Andy comes to me and he's like, okay, I don't think that my friend is right for you, but I'm right for you. So will you be my girlfriend again? And I promise I'll be a better boyfriend this time.
Can you press the button? Is the button activated? Can you press the button, please?
Thank
you very much.
We can find that button at the top of a hat.
Yeah. I think you'll find that button a few more times. Yes.
Look, I've already wanted to use it, but I refrained because I just had a feeling that over 12 years I might want to press it a few times.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and I like, and it's great because I journaled about all of this, so I kind of like know where my brain was at the time, and I wrote and I was like, oh, I think this is a really bad choice. Like, he treated me so terribly with such little respect, and I felt so awful afterwards. Like, why do I want to put myself through this again? I don't even know if I actually like him. I'm not sure if I just want to go out with him to prove to myself that, because I felt like he was tied up with my worth at this point. And so I was like,
right,
I want to prove to myself that I am worth loving. And so I went out with him again. Yay. And it always started the same, where it'd be really great, and then eventually all these bad things would start to creep in, and he'd just be like neglectful. And
the mask falls off once they've got what they want.
Totally. He'd ignore me. He'd like really like subtly bully me And he'd do it in front of other people too. And most of the jokes were sort of just like stabs at my intelligence and stuff like, oh, you're so lucky that you're pretty. And everything was always insinuating that I was dumb.
I feel like this episode needs to be one nonstop. Dump them. Oh, my God. I'm angry on your behalf.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, I guess, and when I look back on it, I'm like, how did I put up with this for so long? But because it was such like a...
It's gradual.
Yeah, slow decline. Like my self-worth was declining with it. And so what I would tolerate just became like less and less as time went on because I was like slowly being beaten down. And eventually we went to this like party when I was in year 11, and I think we'd been dating for maybe like 2 years at this point. And he, whenever he invited me to like one of his friend's parties and I didn't like know anyone, he'd never like be like, hey, this is my girlfriend. And he would always just leave the second he got there, and I'd just be on my own to kind of like make my own friends. And then I'd see him at the end of the night when he wanted to leave. And I'd just become accustomed to like, that was what the deal was, and I was a really chill, easygoing girlfriend, so I was like, whatever.
So many good women have been lost to the I'm such the chill girlfriend, I'm the cool girlfriend. So many good women put up with so much shit because they want to be the cool girlfriend. Ladies, you don't have to be the cool girlfriend when someone's treating you like shit, but we'll get to that in lessons learned. I just needed to say it now because that energy is going to build up and it would have exploded like a pressure cooker. Continue.
Anyway, it gets worse.
Oh, God.
So we're at the party and I'm chatting to one of his friends, and this happened a lot in our relationship too, where friends of his or different people I didn't even know would come up to me and be like, either he's in love with someone else or he's cheating on you constantly. I can see your face. Sorry. It's just scrunching up.
Sorry. I know that's not audible, but like, yep. Yeah. It's, I'm getting angry.
And it was so hard to like, I just constantly was like, no, like I need to trust him because trust is so important in a relationship. And
that goes both ways, though, Ali, you know.
Yeah.
And I think when people do hear those comments and those things, there is a tendency to say, oh, they're jealous, or they're trying to break us apart because they want him or whatever. We do find different ways of sort of taking it on board or explaining it. Does that sound familiar at all? Like. Oh. They're hurtful of our love, that kind of energy. I don't know.
I would say I was the master of justifying anything that went wrong around him and making it sound like it was okay. Yes. I was so, like, it was like a trained skill. I was so good at it. And we're at this party and there's this like really sort of built guy who's like really wasted, and he starts sort of like coming over and sort of like inconsolably talking to me, and all of a sudden like we're kind of on our own and I'm like backed up onto like a fence, and he like just, it's hard, like he was just on a different planet. He barely knew what was going on himself, but then he just like starts touching me, and I sort of like try and talk to him logically and be like, please don't do that. And I try and like push him away, and he's not sort of like registering what I'm saying because he's just so drunk and he's just kind of like thinking about one thing. And so like it starts to get worse and worse, and like and I start panicking because I'm like, I need to get out of this situation. And I can't, because he was just so strong and I was completely cornered. And so I like try and like move my head around him, and I'm like looking around the party trying to see if anyone can see what's going on and I can call out to help. And I like, first person I lock eyes with is Andy, and he locks eyes with me, and I like yell out to him, help, like please help me. And he just like made contact with me, and then he just turned his head and looked the other way. And I was just like, in that moment, I wasn't angry with him. Like, I was just like, the fear just like showed up in me even more. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so alone in this. And so then I just started freaking out, and I was just looking for anyone else to help me. And then thank goodness the friend who had warned me about him being with other people saw what was going on, and he kind of like ran over and brought some other people, and they broke it up.
Good man.
Yeah,
I'm fucking horrified.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I was breathing for a while.
My eyes just turned into fucking dinner plates. Like, That's like a scene in a movie that like rips your heart out, like that slow motion, all you can hear is the heartbeat and then he turns away. What a fuckwit.
Yes, it was. It was,
and what a defining moment too, my God.
Absolutely. And I spoke to, as soon as we left the party, I basically, the first thing I had to say was, you know, why didn't you do anything? Why did you look away? And his response was, the guy was too big for me. And and like, now I'm like, oh.
If it was too big for him, then he'd be too big for you and he should do something about that.
That's absolutely.
Get a fucking team with a pitchforks. Like, fuck.
At that point.
Do you think cops look up like major gang fights and just go, nah.
Nope.
That's too big for me. All right. Get in the car. Let's go back. Precinct.
We have, as a species, well, most of us have moved slightly further on than the laws of the jungle. Most of us are trying to evolve and adapt and grow,
God.
But clearly there's some Neanderthalic tendencies still in this populace.
How did you justify that one?
Well, so we'd been together for like 2 years at this point, and my self-worth with him was like constantly just decreasing, and so it was a combination of me empathizing with his fear, and then also just not having enough, I suppose, respect for myself to be like, no, that's not okay. There's so many other things you could have done in that situation that you just chose not to do.
I don't think it's not having enough respect for yourself. You didn't have enough energy to have respect for yourself. Like, yeah. I feel like saying that you don't have enough respect for yourself is putting yourself down, but you wouldn't have had anything left to give to yourself.
I thought very lowly of myself at that point. Because the way that I guess everything broke down was he'd never want to spend time with me, and if I like ever pushed the topic, like I'd want to see him maybe like once a fortnight, and that's all I asked, and that was like needy and overbearing, and I'd be like told that was too much, and so like I guess my perception of reality was just like constantly being morphed and changed, I empathized with his fear, and I decided that it was okay because he was scared as well. And so we continued to date. And then we continued to date for a while, maybe like 2 more years. And then he breaks up with me. And I'm really annoyed that he broke up with me.
Right.
But he says he wants us to remain best friends.
Mm.
And because we had a strong friendship, or so I thought. And I really wanted to keep that intact too. There was no point in like losing the relationship and the friendship. And so we, like, I think a week after he'd broken up with me, he'd like hooked up with two of his friends in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out about it and he thought that his life was over and no one would ever speak to him again. So he like came rushing back to me and he was like, help me fix this. And it was like raw for me. And he was just sort of like telling me how much he liked both these girls and he didn't know how to choose and they both hated him. And he was like, please help me like figure out my life. And I was like, sure, I'll help you.
I'm the cool friend.
Yeah. But then I was like, after that, I need space and I don't want to hear from you for a while. And so then I did that.
Good.
Got space.
Good.
Good, yeah.
A little bit of healthy perspective. And this guy started pursuing me who wasn't Andy and who actually, like, I guess, liked me as a person and wanted to spend time with me and just did, like, really little things, but I just saw it as, like, huge things. And I ended up kind of pushing him away because I was so shocked by someone, like, doing things that were, like, nice in a relationship that I was, like, I feel really uncomfortable by this and I don't know why.
Was it a case of him doing nice things or just base level human decency things that you had so deprived of the negative that... So this guy probably wasn't even doing amazing nice things. He was just treating you like a human being. And that makes such a huge difference when you realise how negatively you have been treated. Is that the case?
Yeah, yes. it was base level kind things. Yep. But at the time it was like magnified, like this guy is obsessed with me.
Right, sure.
But anyway, so we're broken up for I think another like year or 2 years, and eventually we were like enter this phase where we're like, we could be friends with benefits.
Right.
And what could possibly go wrong? And at this point where it gets to a point where I start to develop feelings and I'm like, okay, something's gone wrong, like I want this to end. Mm. And this is probably the worst part of our relationship, what happens next. I express to him, I've got feelings, he tells me he doesn't, and so we both agree we shouldn't continue to hook up anymore. And then like a week later, we're out with some friends and then they all leave and it's just the two of us out, and then he starts like really aggressively flirting with me, and I once again remind him, no, like we need to not do this anymore. I need this for my sanity and my health, and I want this to stop because you don't have feelings for me and I do have feelings for you, and this is messing with my head now. And he would like back off and then he'd start again, and then at the end of the night we were both poor, so we just called an Uber back to his place. But I made it clear, I was like, I will be sleeping in a separate room to you, and I said, I'll take the couch, you can take your bedroom upstairs. And he was like, sure. And then he was like, actually wait, no, you take my room, I'll sleep on the couch. And I was like, okay, cool, thank you so much. And so I like get settled into his bed, and I think maybe only like 5 minutes passed, and he just like opens the bedroom door, and I was like, what's going on, is everything okay? And it was just very clear from that moment that he was like, I'm gonna fuck you, essentially. And so I basically like reiterated what I'd said the whole night, like, I don't want this to happen. And he, I don't know, like bits are like blurs and then other bits are like really clear about what happens next. But essentially like he was smiling the whole time, which was really sort of messing with my head. But he like held me down on the bed and was just like, I guess, attempting to seduce me in a way. And the whole time I just kept saying to him, like, please don't stop, like I don't want this, and trying to like in my head find different variations of like, how do I communicate this message. And I guess I felt I was really disappointed in myself in that moment too, because I knew I was attracted to him, I knew that I wanted to have sex with him, but I just laid out this boundary to protect myself. And the fact that he wasn't respecting that, and he was supposed to be like my best friend. I don't know, like I was just like having this out of body experience of being like disgusted in myself for being interested in someone who just had such little care for like me as a person. And it, I don't know, like the more that he sort of like kept persisting and trying, the more I tried to like sort of get out of the situation, it just like my value was just like, it had never plummeted lower than it did in that moment. And it was just like so awful. And it got to this point where I was like, if I just do this, it will be over quicker, and I won't have to endure this like terrible shame and disgust and embarrassment that is going on right now. And even though the act of me doing it, I'd still be upset with myself, but I was like, I can get this over with and it'll be done. And so I ended up having sex with him. And then the following day I sort of like thought about it, and I was like, what happened wasn't okay, and I'm really upset about it. And he immediately said, I'm upset about it. And then I said something about, I said something like, I didn't want this to happen because I have feelings for you and you don't, and it's messing with my head, and it was really cruel. And then he came back and he said, but I do have feelings for you. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, it was such like a difficult moment for me, because I was like, what I really wanted was for him to feel the same, but he's gone and done this really awful thing. And so I was like, I don't know which path to take at this moment, to like address it and be angry with him, or to just like relish in the fact that he likes me too and forget about that whole night. And so I decided to forget about it. Mm-hmm. And then like a few days later, I was staying at his place, and he'd clearly been like seeing other girls at this point, and I wasn't aware of it. And his housemates were coming home, and he told me I had to leave like straight away because he didn't want anyone to know that him and I were like a thing at all. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, we're friends and I hang out with you all the time. Like, I can just tell them that. And, you know, if I stay over, I can just sleep on the couch. Because we'd been drinking and my car was at his place. Mm. And he was like, no, you have to leave now. You have to go. And he was adamant. He was like, catch a cab home, catch a cab back home the next day, but you need to leave now. And so I left. I was really angry. I came back the next day and I was like, do you see a future with us? Do you want us to be together, like in a relationship? And he was like, I'm not really sure. And I was like, okay, what is more or less likely? Is it likely that we'll get together or not likely that we'll get together? And he said, not likely. And I was like fuming at this point. Mm. And so I just said, I need space. I don't know how much, but probably a lot. Because I need to figure out what's going on. And he got really annoyed and he was like, if you have space, we're never going to be friends. Like,
good.
I should have been like, great. That's
great. That's exactly what I've wanted for the last couple of years. Good.
That sounds great. He was annoyed with the fact that we weren't going to be talking for a while, but I was like very firm and I was like, no, this is what I need. And he was like, we probably won't be friends after that. And I was like, if that's what happens, cool. That's what happens. Anyway, a bunch of time passes. We end up getting back together again. Stupid.
This person's a master manipulator. Don't put yourself down. Yeah, don't, like, yeah. Fuck.
Just, I think looking at the patterns, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd kind of like written this down and saw it earlier.
You need to do one of those things where you film a video of yourself going, hey, future you, if he ever comes back,
yes,
remind yourself this, that and the other. Like,
in the future, I will do that. Yes. If I ever get in this situation again, which I really hope
I
not.
Don't, I think it only takes one of these nasty situations to usually.
Mm. And at this point, when you, in the story, when you've just gotten back together, how many years are we into it now, roughly?
We're like coming, when we got back together, it was like the last year of our like 12-year-long.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is towards the end. Okay,
this is the end, the saga. Yeah, we got back together, but he sort of said, and every time we got back together, like I had this sinking gut feeling the whole time, like don't do this, you don't want this. But there was so much of my worth tied up to him that did it anyway. Anyway, so we got back together, but like for the first few months, he was like, don't tell anyone, like let's keep it a secret.
Fuck off! Press the button.
Dump them.
Yep. And I don't know if that was because he was seeing other people.
Probably.
Yeah. In unison there, probably. Yeah.
And then this time of the relationship, I did confirm that he did cheat on me once, but he was like, nothing's happening and I don't care about her and I care about you.
If he admitted to once, it was probably 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Just saying. Sorry.
Well, I caught him. He didn't admit to it.
Yeah, and he'll admit to the one that you have evidence for.
Yeah.
I have experience in this, readers.
Yes.
Anyway, gets to the end of the relationship and I'm at his place one morning and he's like talking to me about kids and marriage and everything. Yeah, and I felt like we weren't at that point in our new relationship yet, but I was sort of like entertaining the idea
at that point in your old relationship.
No, nowhere near.
And then that night, he says to me, "I don't really feel like being around anyone lately." And I was like, "Okay." And I said, "Maybe like, do you feel stressed? Like, maybe you need to take some time out." And he said, "Yeah, but I also don't feel like hanging around you either." And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, maybe you just need some time out by yourself to just chill out and then like reset yourself. And he was like, I shouldn't feel that way about you. And I was like, okay, what do you want to do about it? And he just went silent. And so I was just sitting there being like, do you want to like go on a break? Is that what you want? And he just stayed silent. And then I was like, Do you want to break up? Is that what you want?
You're back to 14 years old giving him permission to do a thing. Yep.
Legit. It's like the perfect rounding. And he just nodded his head. And I was like, oh, so you want to break up? And he was like, he just nodded. And I was so shocked because I'm like, this morning you were talking about kids and marriage.
They do that though. I've got a couple of female friends who have gone like, I'm really confused. Actually, I've got a couple of male friends who've done the same thing. When it's just a human being garbage thing, not a gender thing, where people have gone, oh, yeah, and we'll get married and we'll do this and when we do this, and then like literally weeks later or days later, they've gone, yeah, we're breaking up. It's bizarre.
Insane. Well, I was just like kind of in shock, and even though I wasn't happy in the relationship, I was just still in shock by the fact that this was kind of happening all over again. And then he kind of went back and forth. He's like, maybe we should go on a break. Maybe we should break up. And it was just like a whole hour of him not really knowing what to do.
Fuck's sake.
And I ended up stopping him, and I was like, good. This is like a roller coaster of emotions for me. You need to go away, however you do it, find some clarity and come back and tell me where your head's at. And then I was at his place, so I'm like, I'm going to take all my things because I don't want to have to come back and do it.
Good.
And I'm going to assume that we're over, but please tell me once you have clarity and you've made up your mind. Anyway, so unfortunately for me and him, I guess, we had just been cast in a show together.
Because of course you have. Yes.
As love interests in a show. But it was really unfortunate for me because my character was like chasing after him and in love with him and obsessed with him, and he was always rejecting me, and I was like,
no.
This is cruel and unusual. No. Punishment universe. Cruel and unusual.
And like parts of it were improv too, which is just like, it's okay when you can just follow a script, but when you've got a, I don't know, there's a certain vulnerability in having to make stuff up in the moment, and yeah, so that made it hard. Anyway, a week passes and I don't hear from him, but who I do hear from are all our mutual friends. And they all send me messages saying, I'm so sad to hear that you guys have broken up. And like, oh, that's awful that you guys are breaking up. And Andy told me that you guys broke up. And that was the first that I'd got confirmation that we'd actually broken up.
Yes. Okay.
And so then a week later at our first rehearsal for this show, I speak to him afterwards and I'm like, okay, so like, you know, you said that you'd come back to me and tell me like if you'd made a decision. And he was like, oh yeah. And I was like, what's the decision? Like, what's the conclusion you come to? And I knew what it was, but I was like, I want
you
to
wanna
hear
force
you
him
say
to
it.
Say it. Yeah.
And he was like, well, isn't it obvious? And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yes, but grow the fuck up, child.
Yeah, I said yes. And that was just like subtext.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to say the subtext out loud. It feels really good.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. I will do that.
Otherwise, I'll just become friends with you and like stand beside you and I'll say your subtext out loud and it'll be great.
So he was like, well, yes, I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. And I was like, okay, great. Awesome. Thank you. And then I tried to sort of get space from him, but it was so hard because we were in a show together and I'd see him all the time. But then once that show ended, I eventually got the space that I just needed. I blocked him on everything.
Good.
It was the best thing ever. I had 3 months of not seeing him and I told him, please don't contact me. Like, it's
yes.
Well done.
Yay.
Well in.
He sort of respected it, but then he came.
Do we really expect him to respect boundaries at this point? As long as you're setting them is the point in this story, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. He still wanted to be friends.
No, fuck off.
And then he attends a show that I'm in. And I told him I didn't want to see him, so I figured that that like lent itself to don't come to my like a show that I'm in either.
Yes.
But he didn't. The producer like gave me a heads up that he was going to be there. And I'd never, and as soon as it was like, I think 20 minutes before we were about to go on, I'd never felt like this before, but I felt like I wanted to faint. I felt like I was going to vomit. I just felt so ill and like I needed to completely run from the situation. And it was like my body and my head were just like on completely different ends, but my body was like, you need to get out of this situation. And it wasn't until after that night, and he ended up like, he brought his new girlfriend and he made out with her like constantly in front of me and it was awful.
Sounds
this guy is one of the worst guys I think I've heard of on this podcast. Honestly, the amount of time we're going, he is so far, I can't think of someone who's been worse other than my ex.
But yeah, that moment I think made me realize that I didn't realize how much of a toll he was just taking on me mentally and my body until I'd had that separation. And then the idea of just having to see him was so terrifying that my body was just like, exit. Like, we've had a break. We know how good things can be.
Yes.
Please don't enter back into that again.
So, wow, what a saga.
Should we begin with the tongue lashing?
No, there's no tongue lashings to Ali, only to Andy.
Yes, I meant specifically for Andy.
All right, so let's go to what did we learn. So I've got a really quick one that I want to say off the top. And I'm so fucking over relationships where awesome women allow men to decide their future. Like, and this is not a slight on you, but it just happens so much where there are so many, in my experience, it's women. I'm sure that there are other humans that
yes, of course,
you know,
of course.
I'm sure it's not a gender-based thing, but in my experience, it tends to be a lot of men, a lot of women going, well, let me know when you've decided if we're getting married, or let me know when you've decided if we're breaking up, or you figure out what you want and I'll just make that. And that's fucking infuriating when you know how amazing the people on the other end of that relationship going, okay, well, you decide. Like, no, I feel like there needs to be a big changing of the guard. And oh, I don't know, like, if one person's one person allowed to decide the future of the relationship makes me so mad, and I don't know how we get around that, but I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. If you find yourself being a spin doctor for the relationship,
Yep, here's me bowing my head in shame.
You've got to recognize that, you know, when a big, terrible corporation or government does something bad and they send out someone to the press conference going, you know, we didn't kill that many, whatever, we didn't do that bad a thing. If you're doing that for the relationship, oh, he's cheating on you, he's doing this, and you're going, no, or everything is fine in-house. The rumors are, they're just rumors. So keep an eye on that, everybody. Being the spin doctor in the relationship. And just consent, more importantly and more seriously. Ali, in your storytelling, you said something along the lines of, I was trying to come up with different ways to say no or to explain that I didn't want to do this. That's not good enough. One word is no.
No is a complete sentence.
Yes.
We've said this on the podcast before.
If you hear that and also she's then trying to find 100 different ways to say no. She's saying no in different languages. You know, she's doing sign language. Enough, all right? The first one is enough. You stop there,
yep.
Okay? Everybody listening at home.
Yep.
Same with not just in sexual endeavors or relationships. Do you want a hug? No. That's enough,
yep.
All right? So let's put a lid on that, I think. It's a revolving saga, this one, with lots of similar behavior, again and again, repeated and repeated. You're wincing at that. But what do you learn from coming out the end of it's a long time, really, to be, I don't know, muddled up with someone in this way?
So many things.
So many. Let's list them.
I think, like, you don't put all your, like, so much of your energy into someone who's never going to do the same for you or near the same for you. Trust your instincts. Like, if you're feeling bad about something, don't just put it to the side. Like, actually investigate that and give it some thought, because the whole time my instincts were there and I just ignored them. And to go back to the issue of consent, for so long I didn't view the situation as a rape, because eventually I gave in.
Yes.
But after talking to my therapist about sort of what had happened, she said, if you didn't feel like you had an option in the situation and you clearly, like, you'd said no, then that is rape.
And, correct.
And for so long I felt guilty about it because I gave in. But yeah, looking at it from a different perspective, I don't anymore, and I just feel really gross about, I don't know, what he was capable of doing.
I'll just tack that onto my lesson learned. Just flip the phrasing. If you don't hear anything less than a yes, you know,
yeah,
that's it. Yeah. You know,
it's not a yes, yeah, is a no.
Yes, that's probably a better way of phrasing it. If you don't hear that, there's like, that's the bar, right?
It's that old tea metaphor, that beautiful tea meme that they had on the internet where they used tea. It's like, if you ask someone for tea and they say no, they don't want tea, you don't wait till they're asleep and pour it in their mouths. You don't force them. And if you say, hey, so-and-so, do you want tea? And they say nothing, don't get them tea.
Yes. Wait to not just consent either. Like, look for enthusiastic consent. Look for willing consent. Look for yes, I'm into this consent as well.
Yeah.
Not to, because someone can still say yes and be. And but not really wanting it, right? Yeah. You can say a word and not want it. So keep an eye out for all of those things. Let's be hyper vigilant.
I've got two more quick ones before we go as well. If you're in the middle of an argument with someone, you say, "Hey, this is a thing that's made me quite upset," and they say anything other than "I'm sorry" or discuss the issue, they'll say, "I have feelings for you." They're distracting you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to distract you out of your anger, and you need to try really hard. And I've been in these circular arguments and they're so difficult, but please try and stick to what you're talking about. If someone tries to introduce another topic, they're trying to distract you from being upset with them, and that's wrong. And number two, if anybody tells you that you need to leave somewhere before other people get home, you're a secret that they're hiding.
Yes.
And that is never a good thing in a relationship. If they're like, "Let's just not tell anybody," I'm just like, why? I am not the secret here. If you don't want to tell anyone, that's fine. But I'll tell fucking everyone, because I am not a secret behind closed doors. And that goes for everybody.
100%. So a lot of lessons learned.
So
to
many.
Learn and from an interesting sort of avalanching, progressing story.
Oh, and one last one.
Yes.
Sorry. Self-worth is self-worth. It's not to be found in other people. Otherwise, it would be called other people worth.
Yes.
So right.
it's so important, even when you're in these relationships where someone brings you down, that you've got a good support network that just reminds you how amazing and incredible you are. And try and, I know it's hard when you're in these abusive relationships, but let somebody else in so that they can remind you that you are so worth it. You are so worth it every single day, and you were worth it every single day of that 12 years, Ellie. And I'm so sorry that you had to be with somebody who broke you down. And I really hope that you're in a place where you've at least started to, if not have already, built yourself back up again.
I'm on the mend.
It's so good.
A positive trajectory and a Ghost of Boyfriends Past Medal of Bravery to you for coming and sharing today.
Thank you. I know that you were very hesitant, but I'm sure that people at home are going to get a lot out of this particular episode, and
absolutely.
I think it's going to be potentially really helpful for anyone who's even in a similar, smaller part of that situation. So
that's right. Well, readers at home, if Ali can do it, you can too. If you want if you need your story heard, you don't even have to come on and be a guest. You can write in to us, and our dulcet tones can read your words back to you.
Correct.
Send that in at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com.
Or we can do what we did for Ali. We'll give you a fake name. We'll change a whole bunch of details, and no one will know.
That's right. Otherwise, hit us up on all the social medias. Facebook is the most prevalent with our little group there, Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. You know what it is. Group
you
therapy.
Know us.
Group
yeah.
therapy
Our group
is the group.
Therapy group. So you can ask anyone advice there. And I'd just like to leave everybody with one last comment. Everybody, know your fucking worth. 100% know your worth, because you're worth it. I promise you're worth it. Don't let anyone else tell you that you're not. See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.